Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
And we have not gotten a call from our scheduled guest, so we're going to go with an interview Kathy did earlier with Don DeMere talking about men's health.
You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Don DeMere with us today. He's an educator and spokesman for one of the oldest herbal companies in the world, with Vogel Company. And today we're going to talk about herbal help for men's health. So welcome, Don.
Oh, thanks, Kathy.
So good to have you on the show today. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the issues that men run into with their health?
Well, aging men go through what's called andropause. We know women, we see estrogen dropping as they enter the late 40s, early 50s. With men, it's kind of a similar situation with testosterone, which is basically that hormone that defines a man, whether it be his chiseled jawline or his deep voice, his sex drive, his sense of enterprise, aggression as well. What we find is that men in their 20s, their testosterone levels peak, and by 30s, we're seeing a decline by roughly 1% per year. So you take a man who's in his middle years, say 55 or so, his testosterone levels will be roughly half of what he was in his early 20s or mid-20s. So this is problematic for a lot of middle-aged men. And with low testosterone, we're finding things such as there's low energy, potential for depression, decreased motivation, self-confidence might go down, concentration may be affected, insomnia, body fat typically tends to go up while lean muscle mass declines, and the most problematic for a lot of men would be erectile dysfunction and also reduced libido.
And so how can we make those 50-year-olds feel like 20-year-olds again?
One thing I didn't mention, though, is that some men in their 50s, even 60s, they're able to stave off this decline in testosterone just by maintaining some good holistic health practices, such as managing their stress levels. Exercise is extremely important, especially weight-bearing types of exercise. And minimizing their intake of animal fats and animal proteins, and also caffeine, because caffeine is a something that just exasperates stress. Stress basically is implicated in just about every condition that we know of, including aging.
Mm-hmm. So, Don, you mentioned minimizing animal fats. What are the animal fats? I mean, guys and steak and hamburgers just kind of go together. What would be a good reason for a man to start lessening his use of maybe red meats and animal fats?
Well, you know, animals that are raised in an industrial farming setting, they're often subject to growth hormones and whatnot. These are huge endocrine disruptors. So the last thing a man needs, or even a woman who's going through menopause, are basically burdening our system with these things that mimic different hormones in the body. So that will definitely exacerbate the condition.
Right. And so the foods are very important to actually balancing the hormonal function. What are some of the best foods for middle-aged men?
Well, basically something that we should all be considering is a more vegetarian diet, full of fatty acids that are fight inflammation. And, you know, veganism is making a popular comeback for the obvious reasons that when we lean on animals for a protein source, we're getting these endocrine disruptors into our system, which is very, very problematic.
Mm-hmm. So there are receptor sites for these hormones. How can we keep these receptor sites healthy and have them receiving the chemical change, the hormonal changes? What are some of the things that block them, and how can we get those out of our system, out of our diets?
Well, that's interesting. We're kind of going towards female health here, but we know that soy isoflavones, especially from soy for women, are actually very good for precluding these xenoestrogens from being taken up by the receptors. And so I know that flies in the face of conventional wisdom for a lot of doctors, but isoflavones are actually fall within the category of antioxidants, believe it or not. So when we take in antioxidants, we're actually doing the liver a huge favor by boosting glutathione levels. And as we know, the liver is involved in so many different hormonal functions, primarily breaking down old hormones that are no longer needed in the body and need to be processed out of the body.
Okay. And so even men that with to keep their hormonal balance, I mean, men have estrogen, they have testosterone, they just, but in different ratios, how do they keep it? Do they have to worry about xenoestrogens as well as women?
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge problem for men as well. But the thing that I have to point out is was most important for men is maintaining the testosterone levels through exercise. Weight-bearing exercise gives men the great boost of testosterone, and that helps to stave off the age-related decline.
So working out with weights is basically what helps keep the testosterone up.
Obviously.
Okay. And another problem that men have is that stagnation where the prostate starts to get inflamed. How can they deal with that or prevent that from happening as they age? What are some things to keep the prostate really healthy and functioning well?
Yeah, firstly, the prostate gland, it's an integral part of the reproductive system in men. So it's very, when it's healthy, it's quite small, and it's, interestingly enough, it's shaped like a donut. It sits directly underneath the bladder, and at the very bottom of the bladder is where the ureter starts. It passes through the prostate gland, which again is donut-shaped, and so the urethra continues on throughout the penis. If the prostate gland is at all inflamed or hardened, it impinges on that urethra and creates problems for the man in terms of voiding his urine. And so, yeah, the prostate health is extremely important. And so things that affect the prostate would be, well, there's three conditions, health conditions that affect the prostate. The first one is prostate cancer, which I won't get into because that's outside the purview of today's conversation. Second one would be prostatitis. It could be acute. It's usually caused by bacteria, or it can be a chronic condition, which is really just like this ongoing inflammatory situation. And lastly, there's BPH, or benign prostatic hyperplasia. That's a lot of verbiage and a lot of words. I prefer the term enlarged prostate, and that's a condition where testosterone is being converted at a more rapid rate into its metabolite form, which is dihydrotestosterone, or DHT for short. And that becomes very problematic for men because, as the name implies, the hyperplasia, the cells are multiplying in a benign sort of a manner and creating an impingement on the urethra.
Okay, that doesn't sound fun at all. What are some things that men can do to alleviate that or keep it in check?
Well, if you look at the conventional reaction to that or response, it's typically, well, there's two groups of drugs. One is a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor. The Proscar is the trade name. It's been around for about 20 years. Typically, doctors write prescriptions for that drug, and basically, it helps to slow down the conversion of the healthy testosterone into its metabolite form, the DHT. There are some concerns with this drug, though. In fact, in March 19th of 2012, Health Canada issued an advisory warning men that they are more... It increases their chance of developing an aggressive form of cancer. And the second category of drug that doctors like to prescribe are what's called alpha blockers, and Flomax would be the most popular one. That relaxes the smooth muscle in the neck of the bladder and also in the prostate gland itself. But there again, there's some side effects, some concerns with that one in terms of predisposing the man to increased cancer possibilities. And also, there's another side effect that's very unsavory for men, and that's decreased sexual function, basically increased potential for ejaculatory dysfunction and erectile dysfunction.
So, Don, what's nature's answer to this? Nature usually provides us with a solution.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. As far as herbalism goes, there's two really good herbs that have been around for centuries and are time-honored, and some are even been subject to clinical trials proving safety and efficacy. The main one that stands out would be sulfametal. This is an interesting noxious weed in certain parts of the world, southern United States, eastern seaboard, going all the way down to Central America. And so this is also known as dwarf palm, by the way, and it produces a very interesting fruit that much looks like an olive. It's chock full of different fatty acids, and within these fatty acids, you'll find some very interesting properties. One, it's anti-inflammatory. Two, it blocks the conversion of testosterone to its metabolite form, the DHT that we talked about earlier. And some people believe, although it's not really proven in science, that it may help to prevent prostate cancer.
And what's the name of that? When, like, sulfametal is the herb, what forms can we get it in, or where can we find it in an easy-to-take formula?
There's one particular product from Switzerland by A. Vogel. It's called Prostate One. It used to be called Sebalsin a number of years ago. This particular product is very popular in Switzerland and Germany. And what we find is that a lot of GP doctors and also urologists recommend this product, mainly because it's standardized for one. Like I was talking about earlier, there's certain fatty acids that have all these different properties. And so once you achieve a certain concentration of these active fatty acids, it blocks that enzyme that I talked about earlier from converting testosterone to its metabolite form. It's very pronounced in this plant. It's been scientifically validated over and over again. And also, equally important is the fact that it has an anti-inflammatory property to it, which is exactly what a man with an enlarged prostate needs. And so that particular product is subject to clinical trials proving efficacy over and over again. It's and the thing that makes it especially useful is the fact that it's of an organic extract. Sulfametal grows where you find citrus typically, and Florida is a perfect example of this. If you go to Florida, you'll see citrus grove just for miles and miles as far as I can see. But also you find the dwarf palm or the sulfametal plant. And so, and it's a huge industry, sulfametal. And so what will happen is companies that don't care about organic farming, don't really have the same quality standards as other companies, they will hire these migrant workers. Usually they're illegal Latinos, and they'll go out every morning with a burlap sack and just fill their sack with sulfametal berries that they find growing randomly anywhere in uncontrolled areas. And the problem with this is that the potential for insecticides, fungicides, and whatnot to work its way into the fruit, the sulfametal berry, is quite real. Mm-hmm. So with better suppliers, what they'll do is they'll have their own organic cultivation miles away from citrus plantations. And so they know that there won't be any of these estrogens that we talked about earlier.
So, Don, the healthiest, safest way is just to go to your health food store, look for the Vogel products, and find Prostate One. Just one tablet a day can keep that prostate in check. So we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about digestion and all the wonderful herbs that help us digest and eliminate properly.